Hi, I'm Janie Morris, and welcome to another episode of Shiro's Unlimited, where each time what we try to do is bring to you women that have a story to tell, have information that may well serve you in an inspiration, motivation, or an enlightening way, and also to showcase what they're doing in their world as well. So I'm pretty excited about our special guest today because, yes, I did say guests. Normally we just have one. But on this episode, we're showcasing two who were actually our cover girls on the October issue 2021 of our magazine, Shiro's Unlimited. Ruth McGowan and Alicia Heath are the story that they had in that magazine got so much reaction and response from our readers that I just could not have them on our podcast. So Ruth and Alicia, welcome to Shiro's Unlimited.
Thank you, Janie. Thanks, hello, Janie. Everyone.
So, cover girls, you were. I have to say, and we did talk off air on this one, since we launched our Shiro's Unlimited magazine 2 years ago, this particular issue has been the highest reach that we have had since we launched. And my team and I were talking about it yesterday. We actually directly attribute that to the story that was contained within it that the two of you shared with us. So I'm delighted to have you both. Ruth, you're a former mayor. You have a great political and commercial and professional history. One of your sayings is politics, big personalities, and passion for community is what fascinates you most in local government in particular. You're also the author of Get Elected. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And Alicia, you're the CEO of Women for Election Australia. You ran as an independent in the last federal election, I think it was.
Correct. Well, in a by-election. In the Wentworth by-election, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So before we get into too much, I would like you just to share with our listeners right now, perhaps if you kick it off first, Ruth, and give us a little bit of your background and why you're passionate about getting women into politics, and then also how you and Alicia got together.
Yes, thanks, Janie. Well, my background is in agricultural science, so I'm a STEM graduate, and I worked for 20 years as a public servant in agriculture, working across Victoria. And then I had a moment where I thought, I need to run for my local council, because it was all men, and that was 9 men making decisions about my community, and I wasn't happy with it. And I've always been a get-up-and-go sort of girl that, rather than complaining, I take action, which is always a bit more productive, can get me in a bit of hot water at times, but what's the point of complaining, because it never changes the problem, you've got to do something. So I ran for local council, it was a by-election, and I got elected, and then I was the only woman on council, and there were all these blokes, and I needed to work with other women to stand the next time, because I was picked on and bullied and harassed, and I'd never hit it at that level in a workplace before. So I supported and encouraged more women to stand. And at the next election, half those blokes got tipped out. We got more women in, more younger blokes, and I was elected mayor. So I knew that with activism and support that women can be encouraged and supported to run and they can get elected. So I was a councillor for a number of years. And then when I was no longer a councillor, I was still interested in politics, and I supported my sister Kathy McGowan through her campaigns as independent Brindai, and she got elected. She was an amazing rural woman, around 60. So don't take it that message that you're too old to run for politics. Kathy was 60 when she was elected successfully, and I helped supported her on her campaign, helped coordinate it in the background, and then I was lucky enough to do this program called Pathways to Politics through the University of Melbourne, and it now runs through QUT and University of New South Wales as well across Australia. And when I finished that, I thought, where's the how-to guide handbook, being a practical person, to show people how to get elected? And there wasn't one. So again, I believe if there's not a book around Write It Yourself. So I wrote Get Elected, and it's now in its second edition, and it's sold 3,000 copies all around Australia. And I also met Lucia at, well, this woman rang me and she said, we need to talk. Let's have a chat. We need to work together to get more women elected. So we met, I don't know, Lucia, how long ago was it? 3 years ago in Melbourne?
Yeah, it was early 2019. It feels a long time ago in terms of COVID.
It was many elections ago, election cycles. So we met, and then we've become firm partners in delivering the EQUIP workshops, which Lucia will talk more about, around Australia. And when women work together to achieve their goals, there's no barriers that can stop us. So it's just fantastic to partner with an organization like Women for Election. And I continue my own business as a consultant and coach and mentor for mayors and councillors.
Fantastic. So Lucia, then, before you and Ruth got together, what was life like for you following this passion?
Well, I have a bit of a colourful background. I was in funds management and financial services for 19 years, and I took a year-long sabbatical knowing that I didn't want to continue with that career. It'd been fantastic, but it was time to do something new, and I wanted to do something a bit more altruistic without knowing exactly what it was. And I set a bit of a project for myself, which was to fix Australian politics. That was the thing that was keeping me up the most. So just a little project, and I had this big whiteboard at home trying to work out what was going wrong, and met with everyone in that 12 months: politicians, lobby groups, think tanks, staffers, trying to piece together, did we not know, we weren't seeming to get policy done, Janie, in Australia. Everything seemed to just be in this constant hiatus. But why was it? And I realised that it wasn't because we didn't know the right policy that we should put in place. We actually knew that, but it was falling down at the execution level. It was falling down because of the faces in Parliament. And once I had that dawning moment of, okay, there's only so much we can achieve marching on Canberra related to policy. In fact, it's the faces in Parliament changing that are going to result in us being able to get all this policy through that is so desired by our community. And so many other countries have already put in place. And Women for Election, I became the inaugural CEO in early 2019 to inspire more women to consider running for office, but to give them the tangible skills, equip them with those skills. And that's where Ruth and I partner, and it's been fabulous. We've trained nearly 1,800 women in the last 12 months. So women are mobilising, Janie, as you well know, and I don't have to inspire as many women to get involved. They're involved now, but we're just helping equip them.
I have had the great fortune to actually go through one of your programs, your EQUIP programs, and so I can personally say that it was, not only was it enlightening, however, I did feel at the end of it, if I had wanted to go down that path, that I then had I had steps to follow. And so I think you're quite right. I think, and so I'll ask you this question, because this question came up from one of our readers, was that do you feel that there are not as many women currently even considering going into politics, because they don't feel that there's direction, they don't know where to start? Or do you think it's a fear of actually getting into politics and not being heard? Two-pronged question.
Yeah, my views changed on that in the last 3 years. You know, we were spending equal parts trying to fill our events as we were, you know, putting together the events themselves in terms of the agenda. Now we have more women signing up than we can actually facilitate at the moment. So we're having a waiting list that we're having trouble servicing. So I don't think the issue anymore, or at least at the moment, is that women don't want to be involved. But I do agree, how you get involved is very opaque. It's very opaque. And some would say it's kept deliberately opaque. So our whole remit is to make it transparent. You know, how would you run? How does it look if it's for a council spot? How does that change if it's for a federal spot? How does it look like if it's with a party? How does it look like if you're going to run as an independent? You know, here's all the considerations that you need to have on the table to then take the next steps forward. And if you want us to help you, then connect in with a particular party or connect in with a mentor, then we can help you do that as well. But the more transparent you make a process, the more people step into it. And I think that's what we've been seeing lately.
Ruth, do you, another question that came in was, obviously the political climate here in Australia in particular is crazy. That was a statement, by the way, that the reader preempted the question. So, so the question that came through here was, because of the current political climate, is there a possibility if a lot of people went as independents, ran as independents, both for federal and any state election, is there a possibility that that they could be, you know, the ones that actually make the decisions then? Could the two major parties be displaced by independents?
Well, not completely displaced, but they could hold the balance of power. And that's right. Where the power is. So the power of the decision making. And it's interesting, I actually don't think politics is crazy. And one of the things Lucy and I often talk about is be mindful of the narrative that politics is not a place for you. So that stuff about the toxicity of politics, that it's crazy, that it's full of terrible people, they're saying that deliberately to keep you out of it. And when you look at local, state and federal, they're all levels of politics. Is actually like 7,500 elected officials in Australia. We seem to just focus on those 151 in the House of Representatives in the ACT in Canberra, Parliament House, but there's a lot more than that. So women on the ground are doing great stuff as councillors and mayors, and the vast majority of councillors and mayors don't belong to a political party. Of course, that's a different story. Most women do get elected to federal politics and state politics as members of a political party, but here's the thing, they're mostly put in marginal seats and it makes it really tough. So basically from the day they're elected, they have to campaign to get re-elected again. They're not in the safe, secure seats, men get them. So the systems need to change as well. And we encourage often the women that do our equip course, which is 2 half days basically on 2 consecutive Tuesday evenings, we say if you've done all this and you know it's actually going to take a lot of time and effort and money to get elected, and we make no bones about that, it's not easy, it's hard, it's competitive, because you're going to be at the table making decisions and blokes want to keep that to themselves. But if you want to do it, but now's not the time, then we encourage people, well, get on a team and support someone else, preferably another woman, and learn the ropes behind the scene of what it takes to get someone elected. Everyone can do something. The very least is vote for a woman. Secondly, send a woman some money. Thirdly, get on a team. And fourth, run as a candidate.
And there's always, as you said then, Lysia, with everything in politics, so from grassroots, from ground level, from, you know, council, you know, all the way through to Canberra, there's always an opening somewhere, isn't there, for somebody to put their hand up for. So with what you offer at Women for Election Australia, if I was somebody listening to this right now and I was interested and thought, what will this do? How can I start? What would you say to them?
Yeah, well, you're right. In Australia, there's always an election somewhere at some point. We've got New South Wales local government elections, that's council elections in December, state election in South Australia and Victoria next year. and a federal election anywhere between really December and May. So there's always an election somewhere. And depending on what you're passionate about, depends, and this is what we go through in our quick courses, would determine which level of government you would focus on. So we say the EQUIP programs, I'd encourage anyone to go to our website. We have one final training program this year in November. It's designed for people who want to run, whether they're all fizzed up to run next month, or maybe they're considering it's something they'll do in 10 years' time, but it's time to gather information now. Or maybe you want to be a campaign manager or help another woman get elected, or you just want to understand more about Australia's political process. You know, how do preferences work? What is it about a how to vote card? How does it differentiate from one tier of government to the other? Then our programs would suit you. So I would encourage anybody to visit our website, look at the training coming up, and share the fact that our organisation exists with their network as well.
Ruth, with all the programs that the two of you have run so far for women, Women for Election in Australia, what have you seen that has most inspired you so far out of it all?
Well, even that question gives me goosebumps, Joni, because we know women walk into it and they're a bit blasé, I'm a bit curious about this, and then by the end they're going, I'm running for office. And we have helped demystify politics, and we started out by saying our sessions, like, you may not take an interest in politics, but politics will take an interest in you. Everything that affects women is a result of a political decision that someone, somewhere, usually a bloke, has made at some time, whether that's childcare not being tax deductible, whether that's women suffering the wage gap, lower superannuation, the fastest growing group of homelessness in Australia is women, middle-aged women. All of these come out about as a result of decisions being made at the table that affect us. Literally, when we walk out of our door, politics affects us. So we inspire and encourage women, if you don't agree with those decisions that are being made, get in there, get a seat at the table, get elected, and make a difference.
Lizia, before we let you both go, my question to you then, and that came up also from one of our readers, was that what do you see, how do you see Women for Election in Australia, how do you see the future through the eyes of Women for Election?
Look, my absolute aspiration would be transferring the leadership that women already display everywhere in our communities, every day, whether they're head of the PNC or head of the local business chamber or head of a local sustainability group for the local park. You know, it goes on and on and on. Volunteer, pro bono, community leadership that women show every day, I would love to see that leadership transferred to public office, because that's exactly the leadership that we need in public office. And I want women across Australia to recognise that the skills that they already have and are acting on, the purpose that they feel, can utterly be linked to Parliament. So that is where I want to see it. And help us do it, Janie, and Ruth's helping us do it. And just imagine the difference it could create.
Mm. And we are what politicians look like. It's not old white men. That's the typical politician. But we are what politicians look like. And we want to see more diverse candidates, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women, migrant women, women from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds, women with disabilities, LGBTI women. We want to see diversity there as well.
So to sum up today's discussion that we've had, and we the three of us could talk on this topic forever, I know, and I think that's also a great example of the fact that if we can, then the rest of the audience of women around Australia will certainly, you know, could do it as well and want to do it. And I think that that's one of the most important takeaways from this as well. For the future then, you both see that it is doable for women to actually take a majority seat at the decision-making table, wherever that is in our communities. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they're already doing it in the Senate. It's a gender balance there, and the ACT Parliament as well, and lots of local councils around the land. So it can be done. It will be done. The change is coming. The future is female. It's got to happen.
Look, congratulations to both of you coming together, creating this. It's an incredible organisation, but it's also a very powerful organisation that is creating and will leave a legacy for all women, not just here in Australia. I can see that the resonation around the world is going to occur as a direct result of what the two of you are doing. So congratulations on that. Now, for our listeners, because I know that everybody is going to want to immediately find out more, and all the details, by the way, those of you who are listening right now, all the details of how to get in contact and the book, Get Elected, and everything else for Women for Election Australia is below where you're listening to this podcast now. But can you just share with us quickly the website and how best to contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's through our website. That is our main hub and portal, wfea.org.au. Go to the events banner to immediately see what you might be able to sign up for. But you can also sign up for our newsletter, follow us across socials, and get involved with a very purposeful community of like-minded women who want to see change to Australian politics, just like your listeners do.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Ruth McGowan and Lizzie Heath, Women for Election Australia. Thank you so much again for being our very special guests on our Shiro's Unlimited podcast today.
Thank you, Janie.
Thank you so much, Janie.
And if you've enjoyed listening to this podcast as much as I have definitely enjoyed bringing it to you, remember to like and comment and share. Spread the love, spread the word. Women for Election Australia, if the only way it's going to happen is by listeners like yourselves making sure that you do share podcasts and information of what they're doing. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, of course, these two amazing women are the cover feature story of the October issue 2021 of Shiro's Unlimited magazine. That's available right now at shirosunlimited.com, and it's free this month. So make sure you grab that copy and read more about these two incredible women. And in the meantime, I look forward to having your company next on our Shiro's Unlimited podcast, wherever you are in this amazing, beautiful world of ours. This is Janie Morris wishing you an absolutely fabulous day.